Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
The headline reads, Episcopal Church is chastised. Anglican Communion demotes U.S. representatives after consecration of a lesbian bishop. Well, we talked about the consecration of the lesbian bishop out in California recently on Issues Etc. That would make the second openly gay bishop serving in the Episcopal Church USA. And the Episcopal Church USA was warned by Worldwide Anglicanism, don't do it again. And they did. And there has finally been some kind of fallout and consequence from this. Joining us to talk about the removal of Episcopal Church members from committees, decision-making bodies in the Anglican Church, Bishop Keith Ackerman. He formerly served as Bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Quincy, Illinois, and he's president of an Anglican reform group called Forward in Faith. Bishop Ackerman, welcome back.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to hear your voice.
What surprises me just a little bit about this is that these removals of prominent Episcopal clergy and lay people from decision-making bodies in the Anglican Communion, this came at the request, if you will, of the Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams.
Yes, it was inevitable, I think, because of the fact that the vast majority of Anglicans throughout the world are devastated by this, and also because it is in direct contradiction of what the Archbishop of Canterbury had asked. In other words, it's a little bit like the Archbishop being the daddy, and he says to the child, please don't do that again. Child does it again. Daddy says, you're in timeout.
So what does, well, to use your analogy here, the timeout, what does it mean that this handful of Episcopal leaders have been removed from these committees in Anglicanism?
Well, good question. On one hand, what it means a lot, in one sense, is that they will simply not have a vote, that they will not be able to be in some of the critical ecumenical bodies, and there's a reason for that. On one hand, why would, for example, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, Roman Catholics, and Eastern Orthodox want to talk with people who keep on changing the rules just after they thought they'd come to some agreement? So that is, of course, part of it. The other part of it is that it means that they still show up. That is, these Episcopal now observers show up. The only difference is they don't have a vote. Unfortunately, they still have a voice.
So the logic here is that not only has the Episcopal Church USA now flagrantly violated the express will and warning of Anglican Communion, but that now finally there is some consequence, something tangible by way of consequence.
That's right.
Is this risky business, Bishop Ackerman, given the fact that the Episcopal Church USA, while making only up about 3%, of the Anglican Communion, provides about a third of the money for the operation?
Aha. Therein lies the issue. And that is, even though, as you say, that it only makes up 3%, the reality is that when the Anglican Communion, the Consultative Council, whenever the Compass Rose Society and other groups like that want to balance the budget, it's with money from the Episcopal Church. And so, unfortunately, when we receive money from some people, there are strings attached, and that's to a large extent what we're dealing with here. But at the same time, inasmuch as there are Christians everywhere, including Anglican Christians who are dying every day for their faith, and that in Islamic nations where we discover that there are Christians, Anglican Christians, who are implicated because of the Episcopal Church, it's horrendous. For example, the newly enthroned Archbishop of Nigeria was told by the president that he was appalled that he's associated with the Episcopal Church. And when he pointed out that he does not agree with the Episcopal Church, he says, well, you are related to it, aren't you? So what the Episcopal Church does has an effect on the whole of the Anglican Communion, and moreover, on all of Christians, because this is behavior that is not acceptable.
One of the individuals removed from these decision-making committees in Anglicanism, Bishop C. Franklin Brookhart, in fact, he himself, in his for himself, did not approve of the consecration of the lesbian bishop in California, and has actually been on the right side of this issue. Yet he still was removed. A matter of principle, Bishop Ackerman?
Good point, and that is because the voting of many Episcopalians has not been trustworthy. In this instance, even though the good bishop has, and I can say with personal knowledge, always voted the right way in such matters, yes, it is by association.
So what's next?
What is next is a very good question, because for a period of time, several members of the Episcopal Church were given observer status in the ACC, the Anglican Consulate Council. But after a season, that was forgotten, and there was a restoration with seat, voice, and vote. So the question is, how long will the Anglican Communion as a whole say to the Archbishop of Canterbury, this is not something that is a passing reality. This is just the way it is with the Episcopal Church. This will continue. You said it wouldn't happen again. Well, it's happened. And it's going to happen again. And it's going to happen again. So are you, Archbishop of Canterbury, serious about what you are saying, or are you just placating us?
Yesterday, in reaction to these removals, Catherine Jeffords Shorey, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church USA, described the decision as unfortunate, and then she said, I don't think it helps dialogue to remove some people from the conversation. What does she mean, and how do you react?
Well, I do speak several languages, but I've had to learn how to speak her language in the past few years so that I can translate it. So here is her language. Here's the interpretation. Number one, we have done what we believe is correct. We shouldn't be punished because we're doing what we think is right for conscience sake. And if you remove us from this situation, then we won't have any more opportunity to convince you that we are right and that you are wrong.
And yet she uses the word dialogue and differing viewpoints there. She makes it sound rather neutral.
That's right. And that's because I think, by and large, for those on the left, dialogue oftentimes involves wearing the other person down until they finally assent to what we're saying.
And for those many Anglicans who, even before Mary Glasspool was consecrated as openly lesbian bishop in California, after some definite decisions made by the Episcopal Church USA, after it kind of thumbed its nose at worldwide Anglicanism, decided to leave. What's ahead for these Anglicans who are kind of making their way in North America apart from the Episcopal Church USA?
Well, again, a very good question, because it means that there are now people in the who are Anglicans who have come to this country from other Anglican provinces who go to an Episcopal church and they say, well, it looks a little similar, but it sure doesn't sound like it, and what's coming from the pulpit isn't anything I recognize. And so, sad to say, the Episcopal Church has probably been doing a remarkable reverse missiology. That is to say that the Episcopal Church has assisted greatly in the growth of a number of churches. And that has meant that in addition to some liturgical churches, some non-liturgical churches, the Roman Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church, there are a number of Anglicans who want to remain Anglicans, and so they had to finally say, help. And by saying help, the voices were heard from around the world to such an extent that that which is called GAFCON, which is made up of all of the global South, plus a few other provinces, the resounding answer is, we hear your cry, we hear your pain, we want to react to the circumstances, and we want to relate to Anglicans who believe what we believe, and thus a home has been made for these Anglicans called the Anglican Church in North America.
Bishop Keith Ackerman formerly served as Bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Quincy, Illinois. He's president of an Anglican Reform group called Forward in Faith. Bishop Ackerman, it is always a pleasure. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, and the prayers of you and the folks who listen in mean more than I can possibly ever tell you, so God bless you.
Thank you.